Sephora stores are everywhere you are. So just pop in when you need a brown lip to match your 90s playlist, a confidence boost before your interview, or a last-minute gift for mom's birthday. There's always a Sephora near you. Just pop in. Use our store locator to find your local Sephora or Sephora at Kohl's.
I'm Mike Brown, author, nerd, and host of the Dark Poutine podcast. Join me and Morgan Knudsen, author, paranormal researcher, and host of the TV shows Paranormal 911 and Haunted Hospitals, as we take you on a journey for the curious about the unseen, the mysterious, and the incredible things happening in the world about us. Welcome to Supernatural Circumstances. Have you ever been out for a walk alone on what appears to be an empty street and then gotten the distinct feeling that something or someone unseen is watching you, or worse yet, stalking you? Perhaps you turn just in time to see a vaguely human-shaped black wisp disappear behind a tree or line of shrubs just out of your peripheral vision. Parapsychologists have referred to these supposed entities as shadow people. Natalia Kuna, an intuitive and healer, describes shadow people on her website as, quote, dark, inorganic, phantom-like bipedal figures that look just like a dark black shadow of a figure, but don't seem to quite have full human form or facial or bodily delineation. They feel very masculine and oppressive and like something that is beyond human and out of our scope of understanding, end quote. Cultures have been telling stories of shadow people for eons, often explaining their presence through the lens of their particular cultures, including their religious beliefs. The Quran, for example, has stories of pitch-black entities with human-like shapes called jinn that were created from fire. These things were neither purely spiritual or physical in nature, but something in between. It's arguable whether or not the star of this week's episode, the Hat Man, is one of these shadow people. Some people believe it is, but others think Hat Man is something even more sinister, able to interact directly with humanity, manipulating our reality for his own evil purposes. First in this episode, Morgan will give us a brief description of the Hat Man and a bit of his history. Later, we will hear from our guest, Heidi Hollis. From her website, HeidiHollis.com, she is the first author to write about the topic of shadow people and the Hat Man, giving them both their descriptive names to describe these dark menaces now interrupting lives around the globe. Heidi Hollis is the first to have taken them on in her book, The Secret War, which details her personal story in dealing with shadow people and how positive and negative alien beings are connected to them. Heidi Hollis has been featured on various television and radio programs around the world. Most notably, she's appeared on The Unexplained Files, Beyond Belief, The Science Channel, TBS, Sci-Fi Channel, Steven Spielberg's Taken Tour, Strange Evidence, several appearances on Coast to Coast AM with George Noory, Telemundo, Discovery Channel's Mystery Hunters, and a cast member of the Discovery Channel pilot/series, X-Ops. And most recently, Heidi appeared on the popular History Channel show, Ancient Aliens. Also, you can check out her podcast, Dark Becomes Light, wherever you listen to podcasts. Here's Morgan to tell us about the Hat Man.
We have all heard of the vulnerability and unreliability of witness testimony. And it's no different with the paranormal. Human memory is fallible and can be manipulated, so it can be crucial to have people experiencing the phenomenon to keep a journal. As soon as they experience an incident, it's valuable to everyone if they write it down as soon as possible. This, however, doesn't help in cases of collaborative testimony. When people begin sharing experiences, memories begin to change and can be flipped around fairly easily. especially if a bunch of people are sharing their version of a story or even asking suggestive questions. Someone who starts out with a story about keys moving across a countertop can eventually be manipulated into believing a countertop was a table or a couch or a set of keys being thrown versus sliding along a surface. Perhaps one of the most widely reported testimonies, which is becoming difficult to overlook, is the phenomenon of what author and researcher Heidi Hollis calls the Hat Man. The first time I had ever heard of this strange character was back in 2007 or so, where my colleague, medium Matt Spirin, reported seeing the vivid imagery of a strange black entity, similar to a two-dimensional shadow with a wide-brimmed hat. He was wide awake at the time and had no context for the strange experience whatsoever. Little did I know at the time, this was a widespread report, and Matt was not alone in seeing this bizarre apparition, if that is indeed what it was. So, what or who is the Hat Man? Witnesses describe the Hat Man as donning either a tap hat or a fedora and wearing a jacket with long tails or hem, like a trench coat. He's been reported to stand between 6 to 10 feet tall, with some witnesses reporting glowing red eyes, while others attest that he is made only of shadow, with no distinguishable facial features whatsoever. Several accounts reference a gold pocket watch on a chain, which it's said he glances at from time to time. The entity has stalked human beings throughout history, not merely within a particular society or during a specific time, says Shelley Adler in her book Sleep Paralysis, Nightmares, Nocebos, and the Mind-Body Connection. Adler became interested in the way nightmares differ across cultures after reading about the unusual nocturnal deaths of several ethnic refugees from Laos who had emigrated to the United States. From the late 1970s to the early 1980s, 18 otherwise healthy Laotian men who had moved to the U.S. died suddenly in their sleep within a four-year period. 10 years after that, nearly 100 more deaths followed, all with similar symptoms and including the Hat Man vision prior to the death. After interviewing the Laotian people about their encounters and in attempts to rule out a number of medical syndromes such as Brugada syndrome, otherwise known as nightmare syndrome, all testified to experiencing common nightmares, which featured a figure they called Dab Sog, a malevolent energy that came to them in the night, sitting or compressing the victim's chest in attempts to suffocate them. Adler discovered that all were familiar with this entity, and 50% of them said that they had experienced an encounter themselves. The Canadian Inuit, as well as the Japanese, reported the same phenomenon, but all with different names, all describing the same hatted figure. In the field of sleep research, this experience is termed sleep paralysis. An individual, in the process of falling asleep or awakening, finds himself or herself completely awake, but unable to move or speak. Frequently, he or she sees a shadowy or indistinct shape approaching and becomes increasingly terrified, Adler writes. When I sat and thought about the Hat Man, the thing that came to my mind was Freddy Krueger from the film A Nightmare on Elm Street, said Christopher French, a psychology professor at Goldsmiths University of London. This notion that you can be attacked when you're asleep, that's when you're vulnerable. And of course, Krueger wears a hat. But what about the cultures who have no access to American horror films and such characters? Environmental suggestion is always something we have to keep in mind as investigators, and paying attention to the client's daily influences is key. Are the apparitions reflective of things they've seen in their environment? Pay attention. Some people are far more suggestive than others, but what someone is reading or immersing themselves in is really important to understand. If they are consuming plenty of material that may get them seeing ghosts around every corner, that's a clue. Children are especially important when it comes to the concept of suggestion because children take cues from their parents, and not just through what they say, through their energy as well. If a parent is nervous, frightened, upset, or angry, kids are like sponges and will absorb whatever the parent has going on emotionally. If you're nervous or frightened, I guarantee your kid is too. We all know how creative children's imaginations are. That's why so many cultures tell stories of boogeymen to keep kids in line. What we don't want to do is influence them in a way where they begin to see ghosts around every corner, when in reality, it's simply a product of mom or dad's anxiety. Suggestibility can send a household down a rabbit hole of problems, especially with adults who begin to use their children's suggested fancies as confirmation for their belief that the home is haunted. So what of Matt's encounter, who was wide awake to see the figure appear and disappear before him? Surprisingly, vivid imagery can be observed just as one is falling asleep, hypnagogic, or waking up, hypnopompic. These stages have been well documented ever since the development and invention of the EEG and other brain activity monitoring equipment. It was believed that dreams only occurred in REM sleep, rapid eye movement, but this is actually not the case. Although quantitatively different, non-REM sleep can produce dreams as well, and almost as frequently. These vivid hallucinations can be anything from a full-blown figure to strange, stringy lights that don't seem to have a rhyme or reason. My business partner, Stephanie Wirtz, herself, had numerous experiences with hypnagogic imagery that appeared as spider-like glowing lights in various colors. Hypnagogia is also a state in which the majority of sleep paralysis occurs. Sleep paralysis is also sometimes accompanied by experiences similar to those reported in the near-death experience and by experiences of psychokinesis or PK. Not many laboratory-controlled experiments have researched ESP in relation to hypnagogia, but those have returned positive results. Interestingly enough, spontaneous psi experiences, such as seeing an apparition or other strange anomalies, are far more common in hypnagogic states, similar to meditation and subliminal perception. In short, experiences reported within the hypnagogic or hypnopompic states shouldn't be written off as false or a trick of the mind right off the bat. Data on spontaneous ESP experiences gathered by psi researchers indicates that 33 to 68% of independently verified cases occurred while dreaming, with an additional 10% occurring during hypnagogia. So it is possible that Hat Man is something more. Is it something interdimensional or only perceptible when our minds are the most relaxed? Experiencers of this terrifying apparition say yes, that the Hat Man simply does not disappear like a hallucination, but rather walks away and out of rooms using doorways like a physical being. They report that the fear, even when the Hat Man is stationary and absolutely still, is real and horrifying, giving them anxiety about falling asleep in the anticipation of its return. Many claim they have physically bumped into the entity, feeling form as if they bumped into a physical man. Ufologists wonder if this is in fact an alien encounter, as most accounts of the Hat Man's sightings report he merely watches them from a doorway, closet, or corner in the same way alien abductees report seeing gray aliens observing them in their rooms before final abduction. No matter what the theory, whether these are interdimensional beings that lead us to question our own very nature and the paradigm through which we perceive the spiritual, or if they are simply a construct of the human mind which plays itself out during horrific bouts of sleep paralysis, the Hat Man spans all cultures and reaches into the worst nightmares of the men, women, and children it touches, terrifying them for a moment or, at its worst, a lifetime. They invade the shadows and make those who encounter them question everything they thought they knew about the world around them and within them. But as these horrifying encounters continue across the globe, it seems no one is immune from the infamous and haunting legend, as its legacy leaves thousands of people a year in the grip of the unknown.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Today on Supernatural Circumstances, you know, we're covering such a unique topic that I've branched into every once in a while with my own studies, and I keep running into it, and that is the bizarre and really kind of twisted phenomenon of the Hat Man. And Heidi, we are so glad to have you, because your research has gone far beyond what mine has, and probably what Mike's reading has as well. So welcome.
Thank you kindly. Yeah. Hat Man is the worst of the worst. And yeah, coined the term. Yeah. I'm just making my parents proud, you know.
tell the audience a little bit about you, because you've done so much work. A lot of people will know you from things like the CW and Ancient Aliens and things like that. But mm-hmm. tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, gosh, I grew up in a haunted house. That I think a lot of people start off that way in this lovely field, right?
Yes.
And it's like, it wasn't anything fun or cool or adventurous. It was terror. And oh man, how can we deal with this? So my siblings and I, we actually dealt with it by watching horror movies, because at least it gave us some reference. And for people, even if it was fiction, they had an idea, the possibilities, you know, because it was like therapeutic for us. So, my parents built a brand new house to get away from the haunting. You know, I figured that will solve it. Nobody's ever lived here before. And for myself, it turned into I started having out-of-body experiences, poltergeist experiences, only experienced by myself. And my sisters and I, we actually started sharing the same dreams. Not like they're kind of similar, like we were in them together. And it took years to realize, what the heck, you know, what was that about? Moved to the dorms, had a girl that committed suicide, was hanging around, and others saw her. It was just crazy. So, and as a teenager, you know, walking around, I lived kind of in the boonies, strange lights would follow. And, you know, I just had this inkling that something was bizarre going on. And, in my life, it just can't be. I have just bad luck, you know. I'm like, why am I tripping up into all these things? And then I also had angelic encounters. I had alien encounters, not abductions, but like correspondence, communication. It was, you know, so much stuff. And you know, I was still in college, got a roommate, and started experiencing, I'd experienced something I was calling shadow people for years prior to having this roommate move in, right? And I call these things shadow people, you know, the shape-shifting types, the ones that look like clouds, the one that look like different forms and whatever.
Yeah.
And then, you know, having that roommate move in comes this other thing, and it was what I called the Hat Man. I'm the first person that apparently to ever name, define, discover, and now trademark two paranormal phenomena. So it's been a crazy ride. That's me in a nutshell.
Oh, wow.
So where did this phenomenon start in terms of what you've discovered? You know, is there a beginning to it? Can we trace it back to a culture, a location? What have you discovered in that regard?
He's not from here. He's not from here. Yeah. He is literally off planet. He is not from here. And it's like, you know, a lot of people don't understand this combining of the paranormal versus UFO stuff or alien beings. And it's like, gosh, they're seen right alongside each other. I don't know why. You know, I've always come at these topics as somebody who was involved in the UFO alien phenomenon, and that these beings were not from here. And when you see his face, you'll see he looks very much alien. the original Hat Man. There's a shift that's going on with some of the sightings, but it's not what people think. It is just really, really kind of, I'm still kind of investigating some of the other phenomena that's happening alongside of him. So it's hard to really go into details on it right now, but he's not from here. So to when say he... origins, he yeah. is essentially the devil himself, and he'll tell you that. So
when did it start to become a reported phenomenon? Because it goes back, like you say, a long, long time, like longer than what I think most people realize.
Mm. Well, the modern, for myself, because I never gone back and investigated like the historical. It's a strange thing for myself because I didn't come at this as somebody who, you know, went out into houses and discovered, oh, there goes Hat Man. No, I remember before this lifetime, strange as that sounds, I remember agreeing to discuss these things in this lifetime. They became a more modern day reported phenomenon when I started speaking on it and put it on my website. And I was a regular on Coast to Coast AM for over 20 years, and it blew up all over the world. I mean, at one point, Coast to Coast had 20 million listeners or more. So it was easy to, you know, suddenly this explosion and growing of realizing, holy smokes, this is a worldwide thing. And thousands, I received reports the first night I spoke about him and shadow people. And my emails never stopped receiving emails ever since. It's probably in the millions now that people have reported seeing these things modern day. And, you know, I'll tell you, one of the things that I have an understanding too, when it comes to the phenomenon that the importance and the warning of what's occurring, a lot of people like to dig into the history and they focus on the history, and it's important to an extent. But right now is so much more important because it's so much more urgent. People are getting attacked. They're getting mauled. They're getting raped, abused, and killed. So, you know, digging into history is not as important to me as it is dealing with the emails and the stories that I'm getting today. So, you know, a lot of people, I'm sure I know of these stories in the past. I've heard it, you know, it's like, but it's really, really ingrained in myself, like go forward, not looking backwards.
Yeah, that makes sense. What you touched on something a little bit earlier, which I think is really interesting. And one of the things that caught my attention, you know, huge sense with this weird phenomenon was the appearance of this figure in different cultures and different communities, things that aren't associated with the Western culture, you know, the people that wouldn't be, you know, turning on the TV and seeing Western movies. And yes. To me, that's what jumps out to me about Hat Man, is that specifically Laos, the people from Laos that ended up coming over to the West and were reporting this as a phenomenon that was, like you were saying, like they were reporting deaths, they were reporting all of these different things. What have you learned about the appearance of this figure in places like that and other communities that just aren't associated with Western culture?
Well, this is Western culture with the Native Americans in a sense, but the Native Americans, they speak on, they had different names for this tall, dark man. Sometimes they call him Sam or Walking Sam, other names that might have distinguished, you know, who and what he was. But the ultimate thing being is the presence, the havoc, the terror that they wreak. And attacking in their sleep when their guard is down. Natives, I've heard of the Laos, you know, the many young people that died all at once, and they know of this. I hate to use the word sleep paralysis, night terrors, and things of that nature, because that's not what's going on. That became the explanation of the scientific community because, oh my gosh, that Heidi person is talking about this stuff is getting popular. We gotta like counteract this and say it's all in your head. Once again, you know, never heard the phenomena of sleep paralysis or night terrors until shadow people got in the millions of people discussing it. But yeah, so I've heard from people in Japan, China, believe it or not, I did an interview in China because they were having such a problem over there, such a problem. And, you know, religion and things of that nature are not discussed. So I had to get on with an illegal network for the internet, you know, just to give them some insight on what was going on. So there's a lot of different understandings, but the one common thread, and you know, the different names, but one common thread is the threat. Again, I pulled to today because the folks, it's growing at an exponential number. And it's something that, you know, I'm really distressed about, especially when I get emails from children. You know, mommy thinks I'm crazy. I'm going to a doctor tomorrow. I'm 7 years old. I'm like, oh gosh, if you tell me your age, I can't respond, you know? So it was one of the reasons, you know, I'm a cartoonist as well as a therapist. And I did a kid's book on how to clear out their room and to protect themselves because they're not being believed and they're getting abused by this thing in every kind of way that you can imagine. So, you know, it's the common theme and it's the common threat. And I tell people, you know, it's not just a matter of if you will experience these things. It's almost a great possibility and a threat that you will. So I'm more hoping to put the alert, you know, to the forefront. And you know, people go, I mean, Morgan, one of the things that I like about you, you understand from the inside out of the paranormal phenomena and how people put themselves at risk. They play with these things and they think it's innocent. They think it's something, oh, you just do this on television. And no. It's a good possibility you go and play with fire. Something's going to follow you home if you're not best prepared. So I'm trying to put that word out there and straighten people out to understand that, oh, I understand the thrill, but you know, these things are just hoping you tap in.
Well, it was interesting because with this subject, I had not heard about it until this was probably about 16 or so years ago. And a colleague of mine, who's a medium, he's brilliant. And he was living in a house for a while. He actually still lives there, but the haunting has settled down quite a bit. But he ended up showing up at one of our meetings the one day, and he said, I saw this really, really strange figure in the house, and I'd never seen it before. And he described this very tall, very thin man wearing a coat, but it was completely black. It was completely in silhouette, mm-hmm. With a wide brimmed hat. And he's like, I don't know who this was. I don't know what this was, because the entities that would go in and out of his place, we all knew them pretty well. It were pretty recurrent, and it was the only time he had seen it, and it never showed its face again, but it was the first time that I'd ever heard of anything like that. And this was, say, quite a long time ago now, but it was the first time that it kind of drifted into my radar, I guess. But you brought up a really interesting interesting point too about kids and belief, and Mike and I mean you and I have talked so many times about this, about, you know, what it is to be a kid and being believed in these situations.
Yeah, this is what I was going to ask too. Children seem to be more open to this stuff. And as we grow into adulthood, we develop these biases. Maybe they're put into our brains by our parents or society, as it were. So how as a people, can we help show these kids that it's okay to talk about seeing this stuff?
You know, I think it's so tragic how children are being dismissed this way, because I've had people who are adults now writing me saying how Hatman almost murdered them as a child and their parents didn't believe them and locked them in their room or something. And they're fighting to the death, it felt like, with Hatman. So I think that, you know, there's a way to approach these topics without seeming scary or spooky. I mean, I talk about these things rather casually, having a sense of humor about it, because one thing these evil things hate is laughter. a light on being in the room, even daytime dealing with them. You know, there's so many different approaches that can be done. And it's one of the reasons why, you know, as a cartoonist, as I was mentioning, I did a cartoon like book for children and adults on how to help with this type of situation. It's called The Hat Man. It's book two on it. And it's, you know, I'm like really, really stressed about this. It seems like an epidemic of children being approached by this thing. And there's a reason for him approaching children. He gets them conditioned to be used to his presence. So stranger danger, it, big time. But in the spiritual realm, you know, you've got to up your ante a little bit. And, you know, and letting them be comfortable and speaking on, you know, anything, you know, you feel a little, you know, something, anything in your room, you're sleeping okay, you don't feel anything. And I think some kids are really hesitant too to open up because Hat Man is really conniving. And he's like, I'm your special friend. We're not going to talk about me being here. You know, so I think getting children to open up from the start and being comfortable and anything being out of the norm for them, I think that's highly important. You know, the whole goal of him is to essentially silence people, isolate them, oppress them, depress them, and then possess them. And he's very patient. He'll take years to get to that point. But I've had several people write me to tell me that, you know, this guy, this Hat Man, you know, he was there all the time. He was always at my door. He was always in my closet. He'd say goodnight. You know, or hey there, how are you? Just checking, you know, making sure you're okay. And they're just like, good night, roll over in bed. So it's these little nudges to get comfortable with him. And then all of a sudden he's in their bed. Oh, you're here. I've had people say they snuggled with him for years growing up. And they're like, well, I wasn't afraid of him. But then all of a sudden he started choking me one night. Or then one night, you know, he threw me, he hit me, or he bit me, or he raped me, you know. So it's a breaking down, and it starts when they're children, and it's very much grooming, like a pedophile. He's a peeper. Oftentimes, people catch him looking in somebody else's house, and he'll feel that you're watching. I got horrible stories about that, and people are like, "I saw this thing." You know, gosh, he was 7 feet tall, 8 feet tall. He could be 12 feet tall. I've had 15 feet tall. He comes into the house. He's so tall. His back, he's hunched over. His back is touching the ceiling. It's disgusting and just absolutely horrific with the things in the process that he does to get people to let their guard down. And, you know, it's also important to know, you know, people are like, well, who is he? They'll ask me in the emails, and they'll answer their own question. They're like, he's the devil, isn't he? Why did the devil come to me? What did I do? And it's nothing they did usually. I mean, sure, there's sometimes people are like, hey, I dug up something at the graveyard, you know, and I was doing incantations, like, oh, don't be surprised what you get then, you know. But those are the minority, believe it or not. It's the people who are gifted, who have insight, unlike others. He tries to block the evolution of mankind. He's trying to limit that. And it's amazing how often I get those types of emails. And if I could get into a conversation with these folks, well, yeah, I've had angel encounters. Oh, yeah, I've seen ghosts. It's like, you do have a gift, whether it's like at the level of psychic mediumship, you know, where you're charging for it or not, but they have something. And oftentimes creative folks, artists, musicians, writers.
Well, it's interesting too, is that with, because I find this in my field all the time, where people kind of use whatever they can to relate to what they're seeing. So, you know, you'll have a Christian, say, for example, you know, use that imagery, right? Like, I saw an angel, or I saw a devil, or I saw something, you know. And then yet, you know, you go to another culture and the other culture says, you know, oh, I saw, you know, this god or that god, and it's the same phenomenon, right? And then it's just like they're interpreting that through the lens of whatever culture or religion that they're used to, right? They're however they frame the world. And I'm finding as I'm reading more into this phenomenon that seems to be what's happening here, is that we've got sort of this interesting global phenomenon of all these people seeing these things. And what I found really fascinating was that a lot of this comes during the hypnagogic or hypnopompic sleep states, which is often sometimes associated with sleep paralysis and stuff like that. But yet it's a global phenomenon. So it's not like it's a very specific phenomenon related, you know, say, okay, this culture is interpreting, you know, this phenomenon as, you know, a hat man versus something that's happening over here as a, you know, I don't know, the hag sitting on their chest or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I found that was really interesting, was that there's a lot of studies right now that I've been paying close attention to, and I think the parapsychology world's been paying close attention to, and that is this imagery that seems to be coming up in the hypnagogic state and the hypnopompic state. And for the audience, hypnopompic is that state where you're just popping out of sleep, and hypnagogic is that state where you're just falling into sleep. And they're realizing that how the brain is actually interpreting information and images and stuff like that may not be as simple as straight up hallucination, that there is oftentimes concrete fact to what people are seeing and experiencing. And I found it really interesting that seems to be the time and space in which Hatman seems to be appearing with people as well. So I thought that was fascinating.
Or just the time that they're actually taking note.
Exactly. Like they're in tune at that point, right? Yeah. They're in tune at that point. And like, so it's interesting to me where you've got something that is, you know, cross-cultural, that is something that is global, you know, that is occurring during these specific sleep states and whatnot. And then people are reporting the very, very similar things, as you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, the different interpretations culturally, that the interesting part is they're recognizing Hatman as being the same as what they recognize in their culture. However, you know, so they're connecting the dots. I'm not reaching out to them, you know, they're reaching out to me and all nations. And so it's the same phenomena. It's the same feel. It's the same, but you know, Hatman is, of course, wise to where he's at and where he's showing up. And he's told people, my name is Scratch. Well, that's an old Norse term for the devil, mm-hmm. you know, old Scratch. And more interesting, you'll get a kick out of this. He's calling himself the Hatman. Wow. The name I gave him, you know, what a feeling to have trademarked the devil. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh, that just like, because people are, I'm like, how'd you know to look for this? I'll ask people, how'd you know to look for this? Well, he told me his name was Hatman. I'm like, oh, this son of a, oh, I'm just, I have a really, I get such a rage towards him. And it's personal. It's really personal because I know this character. He knows me. And it's like, you know, I'm nobody special. I know certain things, I know what I'm supposed to be doing, if the warning about these things, but it just really, really ticks me off that he gets as close as he does to people, that he gets messages through to me. I mean, I could give you a quick example. I'm an occupational therapist, work in various places, hospitals and whatnot. And I would pop all over Chicago working, and you know, the other therapists, physical therapists, speech pathologists, every once in a while, they're like, hey, you're that therapist that writes those odd books, you know, and then they'll ask me like these different types of questions. And that happened one time. And 15 minutes later, physical therapist had to get a patient down to work in between the parallel bars, and it's surrounded by mirrors. And I heard the screams of the PT, the physical therapist, and she's like, come here, come here, come here. I go there. And here's the patient leaning in towards the mirror saying, who's this man talking to me in a different language? And he's putting his ear to the mirror. It's like out of a horror movie. We couldn't see it. And I was like, oh, and I leaned down. I said, sir, is he wearing a hat? Well, yeah, you must see him. He's right there. He's right behind you. I'm like, I just spoke of him and he just showed up. So he lets me know. He hears me. He hears me talking. And right after I put out my book, this one right here, the Hat Man book, it was 2 weeks after I put it out. The two girls that attacked their friend, Slender Man, it wasn't Slender Man. you know, they're saying that over in Wisconsin where they tried it, they're 12-year-olds and they attacked the third girl. I don't know if you heard about that story. It happened a 15-minute drive from my family's home right after I put that book out. Hat Man never came at me so many times until I was writing a book specific to him. I mean, I have another book that has him in it, but really, really, really personal stuff. So it's, you know, it's like game on. I'm just aiming to really help and educate folks on this to the greatest extent, because it's so disturbing. The patterns are horrific. So
what do you think the significance is of this particular form in people's minds, this idea of the hat and the pocket watch and the suit? Like, what would, like, do you think that this is something that, because here's what I've learned in terms of parapsychology and this phenomenon, is that typically things that are manifested don't often have a different source of information, and that what they're doing often is that they repeat the information that's already evolved. So for example, when we saw it in the Philip experiment, where, you know, something, a group of people were able to manifest this identity that they called Philip, but Philip could only answer questions based off of what the other people knew.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So I kind of wonder if that might be something that might be applied here, where, because, you know, if you put something like a book out or something like that, and now all of a sudden that's termed, right? And it's like, if this is a manifestation that is, you know, being manifested based off of people's consciousness, for example, then it's repeating back the information that's being fed to it. Because, and we see that with other entities as well. So I don't know, like, it kind of makes me wonder about that.
Yeah. I've had other people that have suggested, you know, this is a projection, and, you know, others are picking up on it. And it's like, but it's kind of the opposite, because I get so many emails from folks that are just like, I thought I was alone. I had no idea, you know, that this was this was a thing, you know, like, it just so happened, or this or that. And, you know, it was a kind of magical, but not in a good way, in the beginning, where the realization, you know, of thousands at once going, oh, you know, this is a thing. This is a problem. You know, to say from my perspective and my understanding, more again, back to like my modern understanding of this phenomenon, is Hat Man can make himself appear as whatever he wants, but he's not changing it up that much, where, you know, it's him. He wants you to recognize him. He wants you to see him. Shadow beings, if you see them, they might jump on you, or they might run out of the way. You know, they kind of go off in a wisp or something. Oftentimes, they don't like to be seen as much. But Hat Man, oh, he'll wait for you to get a good look, you know, and smile, letting you know he's there. Letting you know that he understands you're observing him, let you tell you something. Not always, but he doesn't always come in at nighttime either. He's walking around in the daytime. He's out and about. He's standing at the side of the road right after you had a car accident, laughing. You know, he's when you're choking in your sleep, you know, think you got something in your throat. It's him laughing. You know, I've had people that are scared to within an inch of their lives, because he is beating them, throwing them across the room. I had one guy that was getting thrown up in the air in front of the neighbors into the garbage cans, and just fighting for his life, you know, screaming, and the neighbors are all watching, and his family's watching, and I get such chills with some of this stuff. And it's like, just when they give up, like, just kill me already, just kill me. And that's when he takes his fist and punches it through their chest and pulls their soul out, you know, and just laughing like, your God's not going to help you now. He's really specific to mention things like that. And yeah, it's sick. It's really twisted. So his goal, he's feeding off from people. He's also just taking it to a level that, you know, it's like I'm not a Bible thumper, but I'm realistic. And it's like I have a Christian background. I do say I'm Christian. And the only thing I'd known to keep him at bay, the name of Jesus. He doesn't like it. You know, he doesn't. Having any amount of faith to it, he doesn't like it either. He doesn't like a nightlight on, though he will come in the daytime sometimes too. But anything that reflects positive and to exude that helps to repel him. And it's, you know, it's coming from having the background that I do and the whole alien phenomenon and whatnot, positive alien being contact is what I had. And the beings telling me and recognizing the name of Jesus, this power, this source, this part of the whole, you know, being the only chance to help push this negative thing, this dark force away. There's a light source. There's a dark source. And it sounds like the battle of all battles. And unfortunately, that's where we're kind of headed. And it's like, no, it might not play out like we've thought in ancient texts, different religious beliefs. But the truth is, we're experiencing this stuff. People feel threatened. Children feel threatened. It's leaving marks. It's scarring people for life, whether they seen it every day for 40 years or once at 40 years ago. They're scarred. They're afraid he'll ever return. That's how powerful his presence is. And without knowing his name, without knowing anything about him, they're saying, he's the devil, isn't he? Like, that's them saying this. That is the ultimate darkness right there, isn't he? And, you know, I've had a handful of people. There's like, you know, people trying to get this understanding, like, but he's been there and he hasn't scared me. So he's kind of like a guardian, maybe a guardian angel, because he just watches me while I sleep. I'm like, he's going to up the ante at some point. He's studying you to find his way in. And yeah, it's an awful thing that's going on out there. And all I know is to try to wake people up to this understanding, to be ready and resort to your faith, resort to the positive aspects. I've had friends that are Jewish and Muslim and other beliefs, and they're faced with these things. And they're like, well, Heidi, I don't believe in Jesus, so what do I do? I'm like, call on God. You believe in God? Is that positive? Throw that at him. He won't like it. And, you know, just put your ethereal foot down. And
do you think there's some UFO connection with this? Because I keep reading about that as well, is that there might be some sort of UFO or Men in Black connection to something like this.
From the start, my first book, I wrote it in 97. It's called The Secret War. And I wrote of shadow people for the first time in that book, from the perspective of the connection with aliens, like the beings that I had connections with, the negative beings that grays have been seen right alongside of Hat Man, you know, or shadow beings, the morphing into this. They do similar things, by the way, coming through the walls, paralyzing people, making them feel terror, feeding off from it, observing it, or whatever it is. And Hat Man, without his hat, he looks like an alien. His face looks like an alien. So yeah, direct. I mean, I've said it from the start. It's not a new concept. I've heard people say that's a newer concept. I'm like, 1997. I've talked about it from the start. It's straight up alien connection. He is not from here. He is not from here, not other realm, off planet, off world. And just like humans, they want the land. They want to control the people. They just want the whole enchilada, essentially. So it's age old. It's it's just one of those guttural, low down, deep, dirty things that I think inspires a whole lot of things from the dark source. And he is numero uno.
I don't know, Mike, what do you think?
I'm just like hoping that I never see this guy. Somebody who has never seen him and has never had an experience, how can we protect ourselves? How can we move forward with protecting ourselves preventatively rather than wait until this creep shows up in our bedroom in the middle of the night.
If you're a friend of mine, Mike, I will tell you, because I warn people, I've warned family and friends, coworkers, because I got this thing, it's threatening all the time, and it goes after my friends and family. Morgan, we're friends, right? Okay, so...
Not anymore. I don't know who this person is.
Yeah,
I'm going to hang up now.
So it's important that people protect that first where they lay their head, because he tries to get inside your head, and he'll start with dreams, sometimes nightmares, whatever it is, thinking you saw something in the corner of your eye. I'm like, must be a big bug. No, his minions, you know, they made that into a cartoon, but his minions, the shadow people, they work for him. He'll send those in sometimes, but to protect yourself, and if you've got the problem of him showing up, bless your surroundings. And you know, I don't care if you're renting a room at your home or whatever, bless it. And I have on my Facebook group, it's called Shadow People and Hat Man Experiencer, and I have it pinned there, how to go through and methodically bless your property, and also take the blessing with you. Like, you won't see me without my cross, because I use this in my blessing. And so wherever I go, I'm protected. But also, you know, just in general, I keep my prayer and protection up in that way. But, you know, because these things will follow you to work, like for me. And they'll follow you, you know, going out to the playground, whatever it is. So blessing your property. If it has gotten in where it's a bit more to the level of a possession, you need others to help bless you. So that is a whole other level of issues that has to be addressed, if it gets to that. And, but yeah, definitely starts with blessing your property. And, you know, I was saying, I put in my, the Secret War book, I put in the Hat Man books, both of them, on how to do that as well. But if people write me, through my site, HeidiHollis.com or ShadowFolks.com, and they ask for it, I send it to them, because it's like, you know, people are like, well, how much do you charge to help? I'm like, I don't know how to put a price tag on somebody's soul, because yeah, that's what he's after. I'm not going to stop and say that'll be $50. No. You know, I've been blessed with a good career as a therapist. And, you know, I remember, again, it sounds so odd, but I remember before I was born, not through hypnosis, and what I came here for, and this is part of it. And as many people as I can help, I'm trying. And and my podcast too, Dark Becomes Light, I welcome people to tell me any story that they've experienced or heard of, researched, from positive to negative, and you know, we'll chat on it, see if we get some ideas or resolution or understandings about it. Nobody has all the answers. If you do, run from that person if you see somebody that says that. Yeah. Because we're all just kind of, you know, hoping for the best, but, you know, such is this world.
Well, Heidi, where can people find your book? Tell them about that.
Oh, I have 8 books. So
yeah, you've been busy.
Yeah, I've got 8 books out, and I have 6 more waiting to be published, working on a 7th. So HeidiHollis.com or ShadowFolks.com, or they could go to anywhere books are sold and, you know, find the Secret War book. Jesus is no joke. The faith, the other F word. I've got so many books out there. It's been fun, but the Hat Man books, I think, are more appropriate for this topic. Of course, I have book 1 and book 2, and yeah. So I mean, we're all in this together. And you know, if my neighbor is going down with these dark things, I'm gonna jump into the fire and try to help him out, because we have to. We got to be each other's protector and shoulder to lean on. So we've got to talk about these things more and realize we're surrounded. And chances are increasing per warning from the beings that I remember and I know, this is going to get worse. And we just got to realize that God has our back, and it's okay to have faith. It's okay. You know, I know that there's a lot of static with the different belief structured systems out there. But it's not about that. It's about you and your understanding of something positive, having your back, and God, and being Christian, Jesus for me. So I mean, it's okay. People are so comfortable saying, I just saw the devil. What do I do, Heidi? It's like, oh, but I don't get into that religious stuff. I'm like, always, I get that a lot.
You just did.
Yeah. And I'm like, you just called this the devil, right? I'm like, you know, why is it so hard to say, you know, the polar opposite? You better hope there's a polar opposite, because you're screwed. Throw a shoe at it then, because I can't help you.
Do you recommend it if people start with your book, The Secret War? Is that the best place to start?
To get the understanding of the alien connection and the basis of the shadow people and how the Hat Man is involved in it. It's the whole, I was in college, I wrote this while I was dealing and being met with all of this. I was being absolutely slammed with, you know, I'm just trying to get through school. It's, you know, it's like med school. I'm like, give me a break. What is in my apartment again? I had friends sleeping over just to watch. I'm like, this is not fun, you know? So yeah, if they want to read the whole madness, go for it. The Secret War. It used to be called The Heavens Speak of the Battle, but this, the subtitle I changed to be the real true story about a real alien war and shadow people. Because it was madness. And, you know, I'm glad I got resolution and I'm able to share and, you know, give some understanding out there, because it's a crazy world. And I'm afraid that a lot of people are getting lost in it and losing the battle silently. You know, the big war in the sky is happening in the privacy of our own homes, and it's being put as something scientific in our brains only, you know. Oh, you're just having a nightmare as it's preying on your soul. Oh, frustrating, but yeah.
Well, we're glad you're still with us and not in a padded room somewhere.
I'm too smart for that. No, that wouldn't happen. You know, that's another key, having a sense of humor, keeping it on the level, and just talking about these things like you would any other topic, you know, and making yourself available. I mean, it's nothing different about me just treating this like I would anything else, you know, and one swing at a time. Right, Morgan?
That's it, man. That's it. Oh, thank you so much, Heidi, for being here. It's been awesome.
Thank you. This has been a blast. And I'm going to throw in an extra prayer that you both don't get surrounded by anything that's from the dark source. How's that?
Hey, I'll always take a prayer.
All right. Awesome. All right. I'll sprinkle some Jesus on it for you.
Thanks, Heidi.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Here's Morgan for this episode's segment of Spiritual Healthcare.
In this episode's edition of Spiritual Healthcare, the segment of the show where you get to be the creator and designer of your paranormal and spiritual experience, we're going to tell you about a process called the Notes to Future Self process. This process works best when you're already feeling good, but you want to work on some self-care. We've come to understand that there is no future or past. Everything happens in the now moment. Even when we think we are imagining a future state, that state will only be another now moment when it happens. To prepave that now, create a box to hold some notes, or you can use post-its and hang these where you'd like. Then find a quiet place and write a note to your future self. A prompt might be, "Now that I have," or "You've accomplished so much," like, none of these things have to be something that has already happened. These can be intentions you set or notes that will help you in your upcoming experiences. What purpose the notes serve will determine how you keep them. Hang them on your wall or have them set aside in a box for a later opening. Remember, these aren't reminders to do a task like the laundry or warnings not to repeat a mistake or chastise yourself, but rather encouragement or affirmations that you can fall back on when needed. You can add to this process every day or designate a few times a week whatever feels best to you. And you can return to them whenever you need a reminder that you are amazing. You need nothing to be happy, but you need something to be sad. Remember, at the end of seeking, all is consciousness. Stay in peace, everyone. Your future self will thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Supernatural Circumstances, a co-production of Entity Seeker Paranormal Research and Teachings and Good Egg Studios. This podcast is part of the Curious Cast podcast network. Theme music by Corey Johnson of Catalyst Records in Edmonton, Alberta. You can find out more about Morgan Knudsen at entityseeker.ca and more about me and listen to my other show at darkpoutine.com. Feel free to email the show at supernaturalcircumstances@gmail.com. Good night for now.